Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. In our study through 1 Samuel, we are about to see the anointing of Israel's first king. This should be a grand and glorious time for Israel, but it is bittersweet. For you see, this was not God's first choice for Israel. It was not the best thing for them to have a king, but Israel was insistent. Before we continue in the story about this king, John is pausing to make an important point about communing with the Lord. Here now is Pastor John.
Then, verse 1 of chapter 10, as Samuel and Saul were standing there, he took a vial of oil and poured it upon Saul's head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be king over his inheritance? And when you art departed from me today, you shall find two men by Rachel's tomb in the border of Benjamin, and they will say to thee, 'The asses which thou wentest to seek are found.'" And here we see the anointing of Saul to be the king. The idea of anointing was not unique to Israel. Historically, the countries and nations around Israel also anointed their kings and leaders as well. But what they would use, they used animal fat to anoint. We know this from historical records and archaeological finds. The anointing of kings and leaders of the nations around Israel in that region were animal fats, because they believed that by pouring on the fat of a bull or an ox and rubbing it in to a man's head, that somehow it would be able to infuse that individual with strength and power. So for many, many generations before this story that we're reading here tonight takes place, the idea of anointing was practiced by the people of the Middle East, but generally using animal fat and working it into a man, believing that, perhaps symbolically, maybe superstitiously, that the power of a bull or the power of an ox would be worked into that potential leader, you see. Now, when God instituted anointing for his people, it wasn't from the fat of an animal, but it was oil from the olive tree that was used primarily, mixed with other spices as well. The idea was, it's not to be something which is making me an animal, you know, I'm a real animal, but rather I'm one who is rooted and grounded in the things of God to bring fruit for the glory of God. So the pouring out of the oil, as we talked about on Sunday, from that time on, oil was a symbol of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon God's kings. Before that, oil was poured out upon God's priests. And also, God's prophets would also receive this oil, this anointing. It's a symbol, a picture of the Holy Ghost. And when a person was anointed, they would be saying, "I just want the power and presence of the Spirit. Not some ox, not some bull, not some animal, but I want the power of the Spirit to come upon me," you see. Wonderful picture. Now, before we leave this section, I want to point something out to you of real practical importance. Because, see, there are times when we look like donkeys or lose our donkeys or wonder about donkeys. Things trouble us. We wonder, you know, I've lost my way. I feel like a donkey. Or I'm concerned about this. I'm not sure what to do with my business. Or there's a problem in the family, like in this story. Kish was worried and sent his son to take care of this matter, you see. And in this story, we do see that God truly does care about donkeys, like you, like me. Things that are lost, things that might seem to be historically insignificant or eternally unimportant, but for us, when we're in the midst of it, we feel the burdens and the tensions and the anxieties about the lost donkeys. And God says, I want to help you with that. I want to help you, John. When you feel like a lost donkey, or when you feel like there's some stuff that's missing that you have responsibility for, when you are full of anxiety or fears or tensions or worries, I want to help you. But I want you to see what is happening in our story. It's an important one. They go to Samuel, who would be the anointer, who would be the one that would pour out the oil on Saul at the end of this story, as we have read. And Samuel is a type here, a picture of the Holy Spirit. He's a seer. He sees, like the Spirit of God searches out all things. Nothing is hidden from him. It is the Spirit, Paul declared, that searches out the deep things of God. And he goes to Samuel, and Samuel says, you've come to the right place. But here's what you're to do. Before I give you information and then confirmation about your lost donkeys, there's something more important for you to do. I want you to commune. I want you to sit at the table with me. I want you to come where there's 30 other people from the nation gathered. Now, Saul could say, hey, this is all fine and dandy, but I've got lost donkeys. There's pressures, there's tensions, there's deadlines. My dad is worried. I have a job to do. Listen, thanks, Sammy, for the invitation. But we have to be practical, and there's stuff for me to do. I just can't take time to sit at the table. But Saul didn't do that, to his credit. He heard what the seer said. Slow down. Come and dine. Commune. And in this story, we see it unfold that this Samuel, who would be the one to anoint Saul for the job that Saul was to do, asks him first, verse 19, to sit at the table. Stay here with me today, and tomorrow I'll let you know what's on your heart. Tomorrow I'll give the instruction to you and the confirmations for you. But today, there's something bigger. Don't worry, verse 20, about the donkeys. They're taken care of. Don't worry about that. There's something bigger going on. And I suggest to you in this vignette, in this story, in this scene, that a practical picture is being painted for me, for you too. You're worried about stuff that's not really ultimately all that important, John. I'll take care of the donkeys. I know that you have a responsibility. I know that you feel the obligation. I know that you're dealing with anxieties and tension and all the rest. But don't you know there's a bigger calling? There's a bigger picture? You, Saul, Samuel would say, don't set your mind on the donkeys, but you are the desire of all of Israel. There's something bigger going on here. There's something grander being worked out. There's something wonderful that's taken place. You're part of royalty. There's a big plan for you. Slow down. Don't worry about the donkeys. Just come and dine. And understand that there's a divine design for your life. Saul did that. He dined with Samuel and with the others that were there at the same table. And then it became clear to Saul, this really is happening. I really am being raised up to be the king, to be royalty. Stick around still another day, Samuel would say. Don't go yet. Send your servant off. Send him back, but you stay, stand still, verse 27. Stay here a while. Stay here, as the Hebrew renders it, today, or if you would, all day. Stay here with me, and I will show thee the word of God. This is a continual theme that I bring to the Applegate family, because I really believe it's the most important thing that as a pastor and as a brother I can share with you. When you feel there's tensions and anxieties, when you feel like there's situations that have to be dealt with, you need practical answers for real problems, the Lord would say to you, I understand. But it's much bigger than that. It's not what you think. There's something really grand taking place if you'll just come to the table, communion, and dine with me. Commune with me. That's exactly what was said. That you come and commune with me. Stay here. Settle in. Commune. The word commune is actually used in verse 25. Samuel communed with Saul later on that evening on the top of the house. I wish I could say this in a clearer way. I wish I could say this with more force or more impact than I'm able to today. But as you feel problems and tensions and anxieties and frustrations and burdens and worries, slow down. Come to the table. Come and dine. Come to communion. Get on your knees. Wait on the Lord. Pour out your heart to Him. Oh, I got this deadline to meet and a contract to sign and my business and this and that. It's much bigger than that. It's not about your business or your contract. It's not about that decision that's pressing in on you. It's about your being anointed to be king, to be royalty, to be ruling and reigning with Christ eternally. It's not about the donkeys. Donkeys? It's not about that. It's about saying, Lord, you're using the lost donkeys to get me to the table where I'm on my knees pouring out my heart and then going to the top of the house, the mountaintop would be a good place to go and commune with you. A quiet spot with a quiet heart for a quiet time. I still pray passionately for the day when the mountaintop will be packed each and every day with people seeking God. I pray for that. Because I am so sometimes saddened by how people look to men or women for answers, for help. And they don't slow down and come to the table of the Lord and go to the top of the mountain, the top of the house, and tarry a while. And the counsel that people get from other people, it can be helpful. I don't doubt that. But it will not be nearly as impacting or nearly as effective as what you will receive, what I will receive, when we choose to do what our story's telling us to. And when we do, we find out, you know what? It's not about that business thing after all, that financial issue, that relationship that I'm struggling with, that question that I'm wrestling through. It's something else. Lord, you want me to spend time with you. Because I'm beginning to see now that it's about eternity. It's not about this life. It's not about my lost donkey. It's bigger than that, isn't it, Lord? Yes, it is. And I've been trying to get your attention, John, for years now. And these lost donkeys, that's not important. Don't worry about that. They're taken care of, Samuel said to Saul. But upon you is the desire of all Israel. There's big stuff in store. Now, if Saul would have said, sorry, Sammy, I just can't spare the time. It doesn't fit in. My dad's uptight with this thing, and the donkeys have got to be found today. Thanks for the invitation, but sayonara, arrivederci, so long, adios, I'm on my way. I suggest to you that Saul would have never been king. And I wonder who in this sanctuary, which of us, me, you, us, I wonder what has been missed out, what has not been received because we were worried about donkeys instead of realizing that the Lord was using that issue to call me, to call you, to call us away and commune with him for a whole day or two. See, follow this strategy. When you're uptight, when you're upset, when you're troubled or filled with anxiety, come to the Lord's table, dine with him. Go to the top of the house. Get above the situation. The mountaintop, I suggest, practically, but whatever it might be, find a place where you get away and above it all for a day or two. And then just say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? And it'll be amazing what he'll say to you. Your royalty. It's different than what you thought. It's bigger than what you imagined. In the early days of my ministry, the very early days, when I was first starting out in San Jose, there was a place that I would go, oh, at least once a week, if not more than that, in the Los Gatos foothills, the novitiate. It was a place where young monks and priests were being trained. And there was some grottos up there. And it was so interesting because I would drive up there in my Volkswagen. I've had Volkswagens for a long time. And I would find this certain spot. I can see it in my mind's eye so clearly this day. And you would sit in this wonderful, quiet spot. And you look down over Highway 17 as it wound its way up, going up over the Santa Cruz Mountains and then down to Santa Cruz. And all these cars were racing by, and you know, you'd sit there in this lovely spot, this quiet place, and you just look down and see all the traffic racing around, people buzzing around, you know, and this contrast always intrigued me. Lord, in you there is peace. And those people on the highway below, how many of them are racing to who knows where to do who knows what? When in reality, what they really need is just to be with you, Lord. And God met me there on a number of occasions, including a huge one, and that was whether I should leave San Jose and come to a place called Applegate, Oregon. And I can recall clearly sitting there, feeling tension in my soul, wondering whether or not should I take my wife and my brand new baby boy, little Petey. Should we make this move to the outer regions of the world, you know, to Oregon? And I was being advised by everybody who knew the struggle that I was going through. Don't go. The Lord is blessing this, and where's Roosh, and can any good thing come out of Applegate, and all of that, you know. And man, God spoke to my heart, and tears ran down my face. And he shared with me some things that I have never shared before publicly, and am not going to tonight either. But he met me in that place and told me clearly I was to go. And then it was confirmed that Sunday night in a believers' meeting that was held in a house there in San Jose, when a brother shared a word of prophecy. Never had prophesied before. But he says, I believe there's a word of prophecy for you, John. The Lord is taking you to a higher mountain. Now, for me at that time, this, Oregon, was the mountains. We're talking, you know, Beverly Hillbillies, you know, all that kind of, I mean, this is the, you know, mountain stuff, mountain people, you know, Oregonians, you know, all that stuff. And Jacksonville Hill was like Everest to me, you know, and all that. I was a California kid. And that was a few days after this meeting of the Lord with me in that grotto at the novitiate where I frequently went to seek the Lord. And I knew it was just a confirmation. I'm to go to a higher, I knew it. See, the people in that believers' meeting had no idea what I was wrestling with, praying through, thinking about. They didn't have a clue. And later on, a few weeks after that, about 10 days after that actually, when I announced and said, I'm going to move to Oregon, and I used that prophecy as part of the story of what the Lord was doing in my heart, the guy came to me afterwards. He says, I didn't mean for you to move. I just was saying the Lord's going to take you to a higher mountain, a higher place. And I said, I understand that, my friend. But the Lord used that to confirmed to me something which he's already made very clear, and it was simply a confirmation that I needed to hear. See, folks, I'm telling you, this is the key. Not to look to people primarily or rely on people, but take the time to get away, whatever it takes, whatever the cost might be. God will take care of your donkey. I promise you. It's bigger than that. It's not about that. I know you think it is. So do I. We think it's about our lost donkey. The Lord says, oh, no, no, no. You're royalty. I'm just using that to get you to commune with me. Ah, take advantage of the opportunity.
That is sound advice. Take advantage of the opportunity to meet with the Lord. This is especially true when we don't think we have the time to do so. You will always be blessed when you make the effort to commune with the Lord and seek His direction. This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
The Apostle Paul said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you would like to increase your faith and hear more of the Word of God, you may wish to consider Pastor John's complete set of Through the Bible teachings. This set contains over 1,200 teachings from Genesis to Revelation in MP3 audio format. These MP3 formatted teachings can be used with most mobile phones, computers, tablets, or other mobile devices. You may order Pastor John's Through the Bible MP3 audio set from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.